Traveling the Vortex.
Well, good evening. For the last time, from Gallifrey One's Network 23 in Los Angeles, California, 2012, this is Sean from Traveling the Vortex.
And I'm Mel.
And this is kind of it. This is our wrap-up. We're still down here at the end of Party LobbyCon that's going on, and another broken glass. I think that's the
second one since we've been
down. Well, it's the second one since we've been down here, but there's been at least one every night I've come down to upload stuff. So I'm sure the
hotel.
I'm sure the hotel folks will be very happy to see Galley come to an end. They might be the only ones, though. I don't think anybody else is really in the mood to leave.
No. As a matter of fact, I think you mentioned to me earlier that there was a couple on the elevator that were writing down, and they said that they were sad that it was ending.
Yeah. They said, I don't want to go.
I don't want to go.
I kind of echo David Tennant at that point.
Yep.
But what we thought we'd do here is just kind of comment on, you know, Galley the experience and what it meant and overall our thoughts and we've done do the list. We did panels, we did autographs, we got ribbons, we saw cosplayers.
We stepped in and didn't necessarily watch the videos being played, but we stepped into some of the rooms where videos were being played. And what was the one that we watched, stepped in, and it was an older episode?
Invasion of Time in the video rooms. Of course, they had two video rooms going. Invasion of Time's playing, and this is late. This is late Sunday. About, what, 11? Or not 11, like 4:30 or so?
Yep.
And the room was packed. I mean, people were in, and the other room was playing on the Sarah Jane Adventures, and that room was packed.
Yep.
I mean, I was blown away by the fact that with all of the programming that Galley put on, that people were still sitting around watching Doctor Who. So, my challenge for Glenn, and for all of you listening that would like to see this happen, Glenn and Keith have both said they would like to come next year. So yep. I'm throwing down the gauntlet here, live, online, and saying
all four of us, and Sarah, if she can possibly come, too.
And Sarah, too. Let's get all five of us together. We're coming to Galley next year. And I think I'll send an email to Sean, who's in charge of the head cheese here, and say, you know what, we want to do a panel, we want to do Friday Night Who. And let's do a Friday Night Who Galley edition and get people to do it. Because not everybody drinks, and not everybody parties on the Friday night thing. There were a lot of people that I think were looking for something to do, and I think we could fill that void. So,
besides the panels and the autographs and the dealer's room, they also put on an art show here at Galley and display some of the art by some of the local artists or contributors.
Worldwide, too. It wasn't just local.
Yeah, I don't think it's local. I think you're right. I think it is worldwide. And I can't remember the person's name that I did pick up some art from, but I cannot wait to show you guys. It's a fabulous piece. Of course, it is purple, and it does have a unicorn in it, you know, but beside the point.
Mel's a bit of a unicorn fan, if you didn't know that.
And loves the color purple.
Yeah, it is beautiful. It really is a gorgeous piece. I'd sent out a tweet earlier and told Glenn and Keith to send money, which was only partially joking, because we blew through a lot of it this weekend. But I had actually had a bid on a wonderful piece of art that really wasn't art. It was, I'm not quite sure how to describe it, other than, I mean, technically we would have still been buying autographs. Let me say that.
But it had pictures from the episode, too.
It did, and it was a Matt Smith episode, if that kind of gives you an indication. But I was actually thinking that would be a very nice present for Keith. And I got outbid at the last minute. My name was on that stupid thing through the entire run of this convention.
It was up until Saturday at 4 o'clock or something.
We checked it late Saturday before they ended it.
And stopped at 6 o'clock Saturday.
And I think it was 4:30 or 5 when we were last in there. And
yep.
Apparently somebody came in last minute and sniped me on it. So I'm sorry, Keith. We had to scramble for something else for you because I really thought you were going to get that. But the art show was pretty cool.
So they got the art show, they got the panels, they got the masquerade. Oh, karaoke. They had karaoke going on.
We didn't attend karaoke. I think we were actually up in the room recording when karaoke was going on Saturday night. But karaoke apparently was the hit of the convention.
Yeah, it was Friday night. Oh, yeah. That's right. Because Friday night was Louise Jameson's play that was going on. At the same time, her play, Casino Night, was going on. And then Saturday night was the masquerade.
Was the masquerade, right.
And the karaoke.
Yeah, the karaoke, I think, was after that. So,
yep. Well, yeah, I mean, that same night.
There was a singing Dalek, which I don't know if it was a joke or not, but both Barnaby Edwards and Nick Briggs were kind of laughing and ribbing each other about that one. So I think they may have been responsible for the singing Dalek at karaoke night.
But overall, this has been a totally... Sean asked me earlier, what is the one thing that you liked most about being here at Galley? Was it the autographs? Was it the meeting the people? The panels? Or what was it about Galley that I liked the most? And I'm going to have to pull what some of the guests said on panels when they were asked what is their favorite. I can't say that I have a favorite. I have enjoyed the whole experience, and I think it is beyond comparison to anything I've ever done in my life so far. I'm not trying to outdo my kids by any stretch of the imagination, but this is just an awesome feeling to be around all these people, to see these panels, to hear these panels, to see, meet and greet the stars. And someone especially awesome is Simon Fisher Becker. I mean, Paul McGann. I mean, walking across him in the hallway, you know. And I think Mark Shepherd summed it up the best when he said, you know, he was asked, you know, what is your favorite on the panel? He says, the fans. He said, because being a TV actor, you don't have the opportunity to get the reaction or talk to the people that you do this for. And so coming to a convention like this is an awesome opportunity to say thank you and hear the appreciation and give appreciation for the fans who watch what you do.
He talked about the organic energy of it, and I think that's true. I think a lot of people, because Mark Shepherd, for example, is a fan. He loves the science fiction stuff. That's why he appears in so much of it, because he's a fan. He has the opportunity to work on it. He loves doing it, and then he gets to come into a convention and be with other people who love it and love it as much as he does, and it's that kind of shared feedback loop that you get into, and I have to agree. One of the things they talked about in the closing ceremonies was, you know, the list of guests that they had, and it wasn't just big names. I mean, yeah, I mean, big names. We have Paul McGann. I mean, for Pete's sake, we had a doctor. That's always a good deal. We had Louise Jameson. We had William Russell. We had these people who are doctors and companions and important to the show. But we also had directors. We had Richard Senior, who the man was fun to talk to.
And Richard Denick.
We had Richard Denick, who...
He was awesome to talk to.
He was a lot of fun to talk to from Big Finish. We had...
Matt Smith. Not the doctor, Matt Smith.
We had Matt Smith from IDW Comics, and we spent a lot of time talking with him. About some of the things that are in line for that. So I can't wait to kind of... I didn't get any spoilers, but I think I have a contact now at IDW. So hold on to your hats for that one. Just a lot of the behind-the-scenes folk that were here. I understand that Mickey, Noel Smith, did show up, although he was in town for a different reason, but he kind of showed up and... he came and got Camille, apparently, and they took off and went to dinner at one point in time, and then he dropped her off, and... we missed him, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that this con generates. There's a lot of goodwill, and there's a lot of things that just are very good about it.
Well, and all of the people on that, at the closing ceremony, all of the guests said, and a lot of them were first-time visitors to the U.S., that, and Camille mentioned especially, that we're huge there. The Galley is huge in Britain or England, you know, over there. Galley is huge. And this was a lot of their first time. This was their first time convention in the U.S.
Yeah.
And they were just amazed and overwhelmed. And totally thrilled at how well they were received.
There was a lot, because Camille, it was her first time. It was
William Russell's
first time. It was
Simon Becker Fisher's.
It was Caitlin Blackwood's first.
You just said his name. Richard Senior's
first. Maureen. Is it Maureen?
Yeah, I can't remember her name, though.
Maureen's for... I mean, they were just on and on and on. This is their... And as Maureen said very famously in the closing ceremonies for the goodbye, she said, you know, it's my first trip to Los Angeles, and I haven't seen anything but the inside of this hotel room.
That's
or this hotel.
Yes, that quote.
And somebody in the audience laughed and said, that's okay, neither have we.
And it's true.
And it is. It's very true. I mean, Mel and I kind of got our sightseeing out of the way early so that we could dedicate the time to the con and do that. And, one of the emotions that we expressed kind of late in the day today is anybody who's done conventions, and I've done a lot of Star Trek conventions, but you do them, and especially the three-day ones, you get through the first day, and it's new, and it's exciting, and it's fresh, and it's awesome, and you're tired, but you don't care. You get to day two, and it's overload. There's so much going on, and so many people, and everything. And you get to the end of day two, and you're just beat. You're just physically beat down. You still feel great, but you're just beat down. Day three comes, and you're kind of like, and it's kind of hard to keep that energy up.
I haven't found that problem.
Now, really?
Mind you, Sean updated by himself last night because I passed out in the bed.
That's true. I was up a little bit later than you.
But, I mean, from the standpoint of, it's just totally awesome to be here, be around these people, be a part of something as great and grand as Galley.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll freely admit, I was dragging by midday today, and we kind of got to that point where it was like, you know, I think I'm conned out. And so we went and we put all our purchases away and started thinking about how we were going to pack some stuff up, and then when came back down to the con and wandered around and got some crowd shots and some great photos and, you know, doing that kind of last-minute wrap-up. And all of a sudden, we wandered past a panel room, and I don't even remember what it was, but there were people on stage talking, and all of a sudden...
Companions.
I mean, it might have been the old companions, and it just kind of re-registered all of a sudden. It was like, oh my God, I'm a Galley. We need to do something. Let's sit in on this panel. Let's do this. And you just kind of got the urge all over again, but unfortunately, it came right at the end when things were starting to wind down.
But it's a good mix between... panels. It's a good mix between autographs. I think they had it well distributed, and so that you could do something, not miss something else, and rearrange your schedule to where you could get a good mix of everything and not, you know, miss out on anything. I don't even know how to explain it. It was awesome.
Everything was great. And I think a lot of people, honestly, you probably get tired of hearing that, how great Galley is. And maybe there are some people out there, and I've already seen one tweet from somebody that said, I think Galley's gotten too big.
And Sean made the comment, he said, one of the coordinators of Galley made the comment that it can never get too big.
Yeah.
Never. Now, they had over 3,100 people attend Galley this year, which that's major. And even Paul McGann made the comment, when he was here 8 years ago, it was only 700 and some participants. And 8 years later, it's grown to over 3,000.
And it's been on a parabolic rise. It's been kind of... 7,800, 7,800, 7,800, and then all of a sudden the last couple of years, with the popularity of Doctor Who spiking again in the U.S., these things have just skyrocketed. And for a show that's, you know, 50 years old, that's impressive in and of itself.
But Sean made the comment, the coordinator of Galley made the comment that for even as big as it was this year and how crowded it was, he thinks this was the smoothest running convention that they've had so far.
And I would have to agree with that. I mean, there were things that we ran into that... Every convention's got its rough spots, and there were things that we ran into that we weren't terribly happy with. It wasn't even anything on Galley's end. That's the impressive thing. I had some issues with the hotel. I definitely have issues with this no Wi-Fi in the rooms thing. You guys are going to hear about that on and on and on. Because, yes, it's fun to be down here in the lobby doing this, but it's so not convenient to anything. But none of this is Galley's fault. They put on a good show. They did they worked hard. They put on a show that did, you know, exactly what you expected of it, and just had a lot of fun. And it was impressive to see them pull it off.
With that number of people, it was quite impressive.
And even as busy as it was, Saturday especially, because that was the day I think that you got a lot of people in. I mean, we wound up spending most of our Saturday in autograph lines. So we didn't necessarily see a good deal of what else was going on in the convention. But when we did get out and reintegrated into the population, it felt busy, but it didn't feel any busier than...
There was congestion, especially in Sean, the convention coordinator, made the comment, you know, he apologized for, you know, crowdiness and stuff, especially when a dialect would stop in the middle of the aisle and exterminate people.
Yeah.
You know, it got a little crowded, but... That's to be expected, especially the massive size of these Daleks. They're not small pieces of equipment.
No, they're not at all.
When they come through, you move. And when they stop, you move.
Those are the moments you live for, too, is when you come in the hallway and all of a sudden you come into a cluster of people and you're like, what's the deal? And you peek over the shoulder and K-9's running around on the floor with a cybermat dangling from his nose blaster.
And at one point, we had a Dalek in the K-9. battle.
That was the most congested I'd seen, is that they had the remote control K-9 and one of the remote control Daleks were dancing around each other in the main hall.
Unfortunately, right by the, you know, beginning of the escalator steps.
Yeah, right at the base of the escalators, and there was a fight going on with laser blasts and everything going on. It was fairly awesome. So
I'm not sure who won that battle either.
Yeah. Well, obviously K-9.
Yeah, K-9 saves the day.
Mel, I'm going to pin you down. I want one favorite. I know you enjoyed the entire experience. I'm so glad that you did. Because, fellas, let me tell you, it's so nice to have a woman who's interested in what you are. And she's as big a geek as me. So that makes it all the more worthwhile. But I want one favorite.
As much as I squeal for Simon Becker Fisher, I think he's still my favorite, you know... still my favorite of Galley overall, but oh my god, being around Paul McGann, I think I would just die again if I had the chance to meet him again, because that was totally awesome as far as meeting people, but like I said, an overall experience is just awesome.
I have two, and this may be a little bit of a cheat, because it's not an actor or a person, they're things, which I don't know that maybe that speaks ill of me. But being able to go in and see the restored TARDIS console from the movie. And further, when we went in and had our photo taken with it. And actually,
I can't wait to see that.
I got to put my hand on a piece of this thing and rest my other hand on the console and stare into the camera like I was actually doing something with it.
And the guy actually said, he goes, wow, he's really into character, isn't he?
That was a moment that was just momentous. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, because it's just, I can still feel that lever in my hand.
Yes, Glenn, it was marvelous.
The other one was the TARDIS. When we walked into that main convention hall before they had everything set up.
And it was sitting there on the
stage. That's my first real TARDIS. The first time I'd ever seen the box. And there was just a little hitch. There was just a, there it is. And knowing it was there just made all the difference that night. It was like, we're going to see it tomorrow. And then we walked into that room, and it was there. And it was lit up. And the sign was lit, and they had bathed it in this almost...
angelic light.
It really was. I mean, this sounds really geeky, because we're making it sound like a choir of angels was going, oh!
No sounds, but it was lit up like an angel, I swear.
It had a ethereal quality to it. It was this blue glow that surrounded the thing. And at the end of the con, after closing ceremonies, we waited in yet another line and got up to it. And they wouldn't let us on stage, unfortunately, but we kind of hopped up and sat in front of it and had our pictures taken. And I got to take my hand out and touch. And just briefly.
You touched it?
I did.
Shame on you.
I'm a toucher. Museums hate me because I like to touch things. That glass, that I'm the one that put that there because they know I was coming. But I got to touch the TARDIS, and that to me was a lifelong dream, because it made it more real. So I don't know. I'm geeking out now. Anything you want to add?
You've got to find a way to come to Galley. If you've never had the chance, you've got to find it. Your first trip out, I guarantee you're going to spend way more than you should. But like I told Sean, it's our first time. There's so many different things that you need to be a part of, want to be a part of, have a part of history. Just be here. You know, but, I mean, there's a way to cut costs. You know, don't go eat at Mexican restaurants.
I'm not going to let you get into that one.
All right. I won't say anything else, but...
But...
You've got to come and enjoy and experience it. I'm telling you. And the more people you're with to share this with, the better the experience will be. I've had a blast sharing this with Sean, but to have more people here to experience this together, oh my God, it would be totally overwhelming. I don't think we'd sleep, you know, we would explode.
Yeah, that's maybe a downside. Don't come to Galley, Glenn.
Yeah, because all our heads would implode, explode, and splatter.
We bounce off the walls enough as it is. So.
Yeah, you guys, this would be like a 36-hour pod, or what, 72-hour?
72 hours of Galley.
72-hour podcast.
That's the name of it, 72 hours of Galley. All right, well, with that in mind, we are going to wrap it up. Thank you all so much for the kind words.
Support
and the constant never ending putting up with yeah the tolerance
yeah, that's a good word.
much like Paul McGann's doctor, we're tolerated. All right, well, signing off for the last time from Gallifrey One's Network 23 in Los Angeles 2012 for Traveling the Vortex, this is Sean
and I'm Mel.
Good night, everyone.